بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أما بعد الحمد لله we are now on chapter 34 of Kitab al-Riqaq within Sahih al-Bukhari and we're just going to cover chapter 34 today. It's a relatively short chapter. There's a couple of hadith in it. And the title of this chapter is Bab al-Uzla Rahatun min Khullat al-Su. The chapter on how seclusion is better for a believer than to have evil companions. So we'll read a couple of narrations first before we explain what exactly is meant by seclusion and some of the details concerning that. قال الإمام البخاري رحمه الله تعالى حدثنا أبو اليمان أخبرنا شعيب عن الزهري قال حدثني عطاء بن يزيد أن أبا سعيد حدثه قال قيل يا رسول الله وقال محمد بن يوسف حدثنا الأوزاعي حدثنا الزهري عن عطاء بن يزيد الليثي عن أبي سعيد الخدري قال جاء أعربي إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال يا رسول الله أي الناس خير قال رجل جاهد بنفسه وماله ورجل في شعب من الشعاب يعبد ربه ويدع الناس من شره تابعه النعمان والزبيدي وسليمان بن كثير عن الزهري وقال معمر عن الزهري عن عطاء أو عبيد الله عن أبي سعيد عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال يونس وابن مسافر ويحيى بن سعيد عن ابن شهاب عن عطاء عن بعض أصحاب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. So the hadith within all of that is relatively short, but Imam al-Bukhari is mentioning this hadith with multiple chains and different transmitters. That's not really relevant for our purposes, so we're just reading the hadith itself. He relates this from Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu, who says that a Bedouin man, an A'rabi, came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and said, O Messenger of Allah, who is the best among people? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, a man who strives for the sake of Allah with his life and his property, and a man who secludes himself in a mountain path among one of the mountain paths in order to worship his Lord and save people from his evil. This is an important part of the hadith. He does it to save people, relieve them from his own evil. The next hadith, he says, حَدَّثَنَا أَبُو نُعَيْمٍ حَدَّثَنَا الْمَاجِسُونَ عَنْ عَبْدِ الرَّحْمَنِ إِبْنِ أَبِي صَعْصَعَ عَنْ أَبِيهِ عَنْ أَبِي سَعِيدٍ أَنَّهُ سَمِعَهُ يَقُولُ سَمِعْتُ النَّبِيَّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ يَقُولُ يَأْتِي عَلَى النَّاسِ زَمَانٌ خَيْرُ مَالِ الْمُسْلِمِ الْغَنَمُ يَتْبَعُ بِهَا شَعَفَ الْجِبَالِ وَمَوَاقِعَ الْقَطْرِ يَفِرُّ بِدِينِهِ مِنَ الْفِتَنِ. This one also comes from Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu. And here he says, I heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam say, there will come a time upon the people when the best property of a Muslim will be sheep, which he will take to the tops of the mountains and to the areas of rainfall. He will flee with his religion in order to save it from fitan, from trials, tribulations, and temptations. So these are the only two hadith in the chapter. And these are two hadith among many hadith which talk about a concept that we call uzla. Now, this is a really detailed topic, and Imam al-Bukhari puts it in Kitab al-Riqaq because he also talks about the end of time. Why does he talk about the end of time in this Kitab al-Riqaq? It's because he wants us to realize that we're probably in that time, or we're near to that time. And when you're near to the end of time, you have to realize the time you're in, and you have to act accordingly. Now, the issue of uzla, we have two concepts. We have uzla, which is to withdraw from society, and we have khulta, which is to mix and socialize and be with the community. Now, between these two, they stand on opposite sides. Which one is the default setting? Which one is the was supposed to be the norm? Staying away or being with the community?
Being with community.
Being with community. And that is because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, it is superior for a person to mix with people and to endure the give and take of social life than it is to abandon them or go withdraw. So what we have here are a number of hadith which talk about how Islam is very much a social religion. It's a social deen. A lot of the sharia is only established in a community setting. So for example, Taraweeh, the Eids, right? Jumu'ah, right? You know, the sharia of Allah as a body of law that's carried out, that's established. All of this requires society. It requires a community of people. Visiting the sick, family, friends, associates. Like so many things in the deen are only accomplished in a jama'ah. And that's the default. But we have these hadith which talk about withdrawing from society, isolating oneself, heading for the hills. And because of these two sets of narrations, one preferring withdrawal and one preferring mixing with society, there's been a debate across history among scholars, which one is superior or which one is better, all things considered. So the answer is that it really depends. It depends on the time you're in, and it depends on who you are as a person. There is a virtue for a person who wants to isolate themselves temporarily. If they want to just unplug for a while and do their own thing, that's also fine. So these two hadith are two among many on the topic of uzla. And the default, as we said, is that mixing with people is better, all things considered, because Islam is a social religion, and much of it can only be established in a social setting. But there is a time and a place where uzla will be ideal, if not the only option to save your religion. So these two narrations are speaking about those times. So when he says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to the Bedouin man, which of the people is better, and he mentions a man who strives with his life and his wealth, this is in jihad, fi sabilillah. That's with other people. And then he says, the next one is the one who goes to one of the mountain, one of the valleys, worshiping Allah and avoid keeping people away from his evil. So you have two different things here. Now there is a third position. Imam Abdul Ghani al-Nablusi, he was a late Ottoman scholar from Syria. He wrote a book, a small work, called Takmilun Nu'ud fi Luzum al-Buyut. And it's kind of a third position in between absolute withdrawal from society and absolute mixing. And it was more like, you're not totally withdrawn from society, but you're not totally involved either. You come for your Jumu'ah, you come for the social needs here and there, but you go right back home and you keep to your business. You don't get involved in drama. You don't get mixed up with people and their fitna. You try to avoid the crowd as much as possible. So it's like you're self-isolating. And we had a lot of practice doing that, didn't we? A couple of years ago, we had an externally imposed uzla for a while in 2020, didn't we? And we all experienced it. And it's not that fun, right? You have to have certain things with you to do that. Imam Malik would tell people that if you're going to go and withdraw and head for the hills, if that's what you want to do, you must gain deep knowledge of the deen before you do so. Because there was a history of people doing that, thinking, okay, I'm going to just isolate myself for ibadah, tafarruq, but they don't have knowledge of deen.
And what happens is they're all by themselves engaging in salat and siyam and qiyam and dhikr, and they're all by themselves. But what happens when you're by yourself for an extended period of time is you start to hear those voices in your head. You're kind of stuck in your head, you're isolated, you're not around people. And because that person didn't have sound knowledge of the deen, they started getting some wild ideas and they started getting confused, and it kind of messed with their minds a little bit. So this is ideally in a situation when a person has no other choice but to leave the fitna of the society at a certain time. What the second hadith tells us is that uzla, or withdrawing from society, becomes the superior option in the end of time, fi akhir az-zaman. Now, I want you to notice something here about the first hadith. He says here, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that this person goes into one of the mountain passes and the places of rain. Why does he do that? He does that so that he can keep people away from his evil, or allow them to avoid his evil. This is talking about the niyyah of the person who does that when that time comes. They're not withdrawing from society because they look at everyone else as being inferior to them. All these fusaq and all these dhalimun, and I'm better than them, so I must be away from these low-life people. I'm gonna go isolate myself. No, he actually says it's the other way around, that they feel that if they continue in society because of the degradation, that they're going to bring evil onto others. They're going to harm others because of their own state. So it's as if they're leaving to protect other people from the evils of their own actions. So it's not a person leaving because they look down on the rest of the world. And, you know, we've had groups across history who did just that, right? Back in the 70s, some of you may be familiar with Jama'at al-Takfir wa al-Hijra. Any Egyptians here? We had Jama'at al-Takfir wa al-Hijra. It was this group that emerged in the 70s. They believed that society, Muslim society, was completely in Jahiliyya. Most of the people were outside of Islam. They're all kuffar, murtaddun, and the only way we can have our Islam is if we isolate ourselves from society. So they withdrew from society. They went into the desert somewhere with their little community of the only Muslims in the world, in their view, to reestablish, you know, an Islamic society. But it ended up involving them in violence, and it was shut down really hard because of what they got involved in. Now, I want to leave you with a statement that contextualizes all of this. Imam al-Qushayri, rahmatullahi alayhi, in his Ar-Risalat al-Qushayriya, he says about uzla, withdrawing from society, طَرِيقُ مَنْ آثَرَ الْعُزْلَةَ أَنْ يَعْتَقِدَ سَلَامَةَ النَّاسِ مِنْ شَرِّهِ لَا الْعَكْسِ فَإِنَّ الْأَوَّلَ يُنْتِجُهُ إِسْتِصْغَارُهُ نَفْسَهُ وهي صفة المتواضع والثاني شهود مزية له على غيره وهذه صفة المتكبر. So he says that the way for the one who prefers to withdraw from society is that he believes that it's so that others are safe from his harms, not the other way around. Because when the person withdraws to keep others safe from him, it comes from a state of humility, not thinking themselves to be high and mighty and better than other people. Whereas the person who has the opposite way, they think themselves better than others, they think they're better, and this is the quality of an arrogant person. Where does this leave us? Well, unless you're planning to head for the hills, you know, you have a job, you have family, you have friends, you're involved in the world. So do these hadith have any application to us? They do. You have to pay attention to the world around you. And if you feel that the fitna is getting so bad that you are at risk of losing your deen, literally, then this would be an option that is always on the table until the Day of Judgment. And this is going to be more and more of an option for people as we get further into Akhir al-Zaman. The issue is, it's also it's also, how should we say it? There's some pitfalls here. There's pitfalls associated with it, because, you know, when you're dealing with hadith concerning the end of time, one of the great dangers is that you take those hadith and you apply them to your current environment without realizing that you still have a long way to go. And you may take drastic actions that affect you and your family and others, and you're not really ready for what you think you want to do. You know, there's people who thought, okay, this is the end of time, I'm going to head for the hills. They head for the hills and they literally lose their mind, right? Or they head for the hills, they sell their house, they get rid of all their belongings, and they go somewhere, and they just put their family and children into difficult situations for no reason, because they do it for a year or two. They can't hack it. They're not meant for that. And then they come back, and now they've strained relationships with their family. So the great lesson here is, if you can't do it completely, do as the mashayikh say, which is take time here and there and do your own mini uzla. What's a mini uzla? Once or twice a year, take some time off, go away for a few days, just away, you know, it could be in nature, it could be camping, it could be anything, even at home, where you unplug everything and you just isolate yourself in the state of dhikr and reflection. And it goes without saying that if you're going to do that, you can't make uzla physically while you are still in society digitally, right? There's some people who think, oh, I'm going to withdraw from people, I'm going to isolate myself, but they're on their phones. They're not really isolated, because they're still plugged in to all of what's going on. The real uzla would be unplugging from the digital devices as well. So if you do it a couple of times a year, it's in a way, as Sheikh Mustafa Sibai once said in his book of Sirah, it's kind of like you were replicating the early tahannuth of the Prophet ﷺ when he would go to the cave of Hira. He would go there occasionally for some days at a time, for weeks at a time, yatahannath, you know, just for devotions. And he said that anyone who's involved in any Islamic work or dawah or teaching or anything community related, could be anything, you have to take some time out to just unplug and be away from people, right? Because when it's just you and your Lord, and you're in a state of dhikr and reflection, you're rebuilding your spiritual reserves, right? The ability to engage with the community, to engage with others and call people to Allah, that ability is commensurate with those times when you're away from people, right? That's why the greatest people in dawah are people who have a very big share of Qiyamul Layl. Right? The greatest people in dawah that I've ever seen are people who they're awake halfway through the night, every single night, and the dawah is actually in the dua and the last third of the night, making dua for the people they're calling to Allah. So they're not just with people 24/7 and getting burnt out. They have that time between them and their Lord. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen.